Welcome to Overcoming Outdoors. Today we've got Anthony Jones with Cumberland Trail State Park. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Brad. Thank you.
Well, Anthony, if you would, just tell us a little bit about what you do for the Cumberland Trail.
So I am the assistant park manager of the Cumberland Trail. And if you don't know what the Cumberland Trail is a state park. It is a linear state park. It's a 300-mile-long hiking trail that runs from Signal Point, Chattanooga, all the way to Cumberland Gap, Kentucky. Or depending on which end you start at, it could run from Cumberland Gap, Kentucky, all the way to Signal Point, Chattanooga. But we're a 300-mile-long hiking trail, and we're still under construction, so we're still working to build the Cumberland Trail.
So any estimated time of when you expect that to be completed, or just depending on help and volunteer efforts? Or
well, I don't want to estimate a time. We've been estimating. This project started in the 70s, actually, with the State Scenic Trails Act being signed in 1971, and that's where the Cumberland Trail kind of came into existence. And then in 1998, it became Tennessee's 53rd state park. And then since that point, we've been working to complete it. Hopefully, we're almost done. We have about 200 and probably 60 miles of trail that's built, that's done and constructed. We'd like about 50 miles left. And we've got some grant funding and some state funding to help us, and hopefully we'll be completed with this project in the next couple of years here.
Well, I know that, you know, every summer you guys get help through the SIR programs at Tennessee State Parks and various other operations, and the kids, you know, throughout the state park program spends, what, weeks out there, what, 3 weeks this year?
Yeah, so we get I wrote an article about this in the Tennessee Conservationist of last month. It's been about 7 years ago, the director of interpretation, they asked what, you know, each department could do to help the Cumberland Trail get completed. And Jeff Wells was the director of Interp at that time. And he said, well, instead of having a midsummer in-service where our kids just get together in the summer and talk about stuff, let's send them somewhere to do something. So they started coming up to our place on the Cumberland Trail, and I started building bridges and building trail with them. So for the last 7 years, we've had them all up there. We have them usually for 4 weeks, but this summer we made our groups a little bit bigger, and we had them for 3 weeks. So we built three bridges, and then we built some trail. We built a bridge in Ray County, or the edge of Bledsoe County, on a creek called Soap Creek. We built about a 30-foot-long aluminum bridge there. A rolling barge bridge is the name of that company who designed that bridge. It's the first one in state parks. Years ago, we'd build aluminum bridges with them that were gator bridges. Those were the first ones that were ever built in state parks, and we helped design that bridge, and we won the Excellence of Innovation for Parks that year for a new bridge design. We wanted a bridge that would stand up a little bit better, our bigger bridges that would be, you know, wouldn't rot out as wood and stuff, the longer ones. So we did gator bridges for a few years, and then we did a rolling barge bridge, and then we built two bridges in Catoosa Wildlife Management Area on the place where the Cumberland Trail goes through. And then we went up to Bird Mountain in Morgan County, and we built about a half a mile of trail up there. So we work them pretty good. They love their experience. It's totally different than anything they get to do at their other parks. You know, they're giving programs and stuff every day and giving presentations to the public at other parks. But when they come for us, they get to ride side by sides through the woods and carry lumber in and aluminum parts in, and we get to build bridges with them.
And they're building character.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Building some character. So, I mean, the Cumberland Trail is probably the most unique state park in the system. I mean, so it's a, you know, you described it as a linear park, and it covers, you know, how many counties was that?
We go through 11 counties.
Wow.
And we are a unique system. We don't have cabins and stuff. Most of our stuff is in the backcountry. We do have backcountry camping. It is free. We have designated sites, but if you're doing a long distance hike, we've got a couple hikes, you know, sections that are, you know, 50 plus miles long that people can go on. So we do allow dispersed camping in those longer sections of the trail. You just have to be 2 miles from a trailhead to do that.
Is that a permit access?
Yeah, you can get that permit through our friends site, Friends of the Cumberland Trail. You can get it on the state parks website. At all of our kiosks, there's, you know, the websites and directions on how to get camping permits. But like I said, it's free, and the permit system is just for us to know, you know, who's there. If a car's there for more than 3 or 4 days, then and they're not registered to camp, then we know, you know, might be someone missing or something like that. Because we do have a lot of rescues, especially in our southern sections of the trail in Hamilton and Ray counties. We have a lot of rescues and call-outs, and people do get turned around in the woods. I mean, that's just a part of it.
Right. So a guest comes out to go hiking. You do. They do offer day. You do have some day excursions. So what would somebody need to bring or expect to bring with them to come out for the day at Cumberland Trail?
So we have over 30 trailheads along the Cumberland Trail corridor. So any of our 11 counties, you know, you can find different trailheads in different places. One of the most one of the more popular areas is in Chattanooga. It's North Chickamauga Creek Gorge. That's more of the river, and a lot of people go there in the summertime just to get wet into the water. Two of the really prettiest places, and probably the closest two places to here that we have are really spectacular, is Black Mountain in Cumberland County. So Black Mountain Overlook, it's just off the Crab Orchard exit as you're going to Knoxville on I-40 East. There's a spectacular overlook on the top of Black Mountain, and there's some rock climbing up there, and we have these huge rock pillars that people can climb and crawl through. It's really amazing. And this time of year, in the next few weeks, with these leaves changing and stuff, it's an awesome place to go and get a good view looking off to the east, and that overlook, you're overlooking Grassy Cove, which is the nation's largest sinkhole, and all the colors will be changing. That is probably the closest place we have to Cookeville, and there's a little day loop up there that's about a mile long, and the Cumberland Trail goes through there, and there's a longer hike there too. There's a 6.5 mile hike where you could park a car at Black Mountain and hike to Ozone Falls State Natural Area. And you could do a two-car hike. So if people wanted to go up there and do a day trip that takes longer, carpool around or take two cars and hike from Black Mountain to Ozone. And then Laurel Snow in Ray County. Beautiful. Laurel Falls is spectacular. Buzzard Point is an overlook in that area. It's spectacular. It's about a 4.5 mile hike up to Laurel Falls. But that whole area has a, you're down in the river on Richland Creek is the name of the creek, but there's little day hikes in there that people can use. Those are two places that are close to us that are just super, super beautiful.
That sounds great. We'll be right back in just a few minutes with Anthony Jones. And we're back today with Anthony Jones with Cumberland Trail State Park. Anthony, tell us about any special events or programs that you got coming up at Cumberland Trail.
So we do have an event coming up October the 1st. It's called Ranger Fest. It is at the head of Sequatchie, which will be our central office. It will be our headquarters, the park headquarters, for the Cumberland Trail. And you can get the directions to the head of Sequatchie online on our state parks website or our Friends of the Cumberland Trail website. But we have a program there Saturday where professor at University of Tennessee, Dr. Jan Schimmick, is going to come speak about the cave there. We have a cave there at Devil Step Hollow Cave that's pretty significant when it comes to Native American cave art. It has all three types of Native American cave art. Has pictographs, which are carved drawings. It has petroglyphs, which are charcoal drawings. And it has mud glyphs. And it's one of the only caves in the southeast or the eastern part of the U.S. at all that has all three types of Native American cave art. So he's going to give a presentation on that on October the 1st there at the head of Sequatchie. That's the soonest event we have coming up to kind of let people know about our area.
And that's totally free?
Totally free, yep. It's free. I think donations we do a donation if someone wants to leave a donation there.
And then you got any volunteer opportunities coming up?
We always have volunteer opportunities. We're always doing sections of trail that need to be, you know, cut out, chainsawed. When you have a 300-mile-long trail, there's a tree falls every day.
Right.
And there's a section that grows up every day because, you know, it doesn't get hiked, especially these backcountry places. So we always have opportunities for people to volunteer. We have a friends group, like I said, Friends of the Cumberland Trail. You can contact them via the web to help, or you can call the park office and get those numbers through our state park website online, and we'll you can be volunteering with us. We're going to start cutting trails out next week. So, yeah, we always take opportunities for volunteers. We have a program where people can adopt sections of our trail and maintain sections of our trail. And that helps us a lot. We have some good maintainers and adopters. So if people are interested in that, they can get online and contact us. And you can sign up and you can adopt your own little section of CT and keep that thing picked up and clean and trees cut out of it.
So pretty much it takes a village to maintain Cumberland Trail.
It takes a great village to maintain 200 and something plus miles of hiking trail. And we're building more. That's the thing, too.
So now, do you guys break it up? You know, do you have multiple offices or multiple areas, you know?
We do. We have a southern office that is not been built yet, but it will be built in the coming months or the coming years. It will be in Hamilton County. So we have it broke up, and we have some what we call southern rangers and northern rangers. Our southern rangers' main job is to patrol those areas south of Crossville. and they take care of those areas. But we all help each other out. I mean, we travel the entire length of the trail, but the Southern Rangers kind of maintain that area, and then we have a northern staff that kind of maintains everything from Crossville up to Cumberland Gap in that northern section of Cumberland Trail. And then we have the office there in Crossville. It's just outside of Crossville. It's in Cumberland County at the head of Sequatchie. That's going to be our main office. And that little area is open 7 days a week, 9 to 5. And there's a little trail there, and you can hike up to the mouth of the cave, and you can see where the Sequatchie River comes out of the ground at. It's pretty amazing. Honestly, you could actually, you know, jump across the river up there where it starts. It comes out of the ground. All the water from Grassy Cove, that giant sinkhole I talked about, comes through Brady Mountain, and it takes it, you know, 7 to 9 days to get through there. Then it comes out at the head of Sequatchie, and that creek comes right out of the ground right there and runs 24/7, 365. And then we have a northern office at Cove Lake. So that's our three offices that we, our rangers, kind of report to.
So having, you know, covering, you know, that much ground, you know, you pretty well need to be split up.
Yeah, we have to be spread out to cover everything. But we try to get together, and all of us try to work together and help each other if we have a big need in one area. If there's a search or a call out, you know, we all try to go to that if we can get there. Sometimes the guys in the north can't get to a southern one in time, or sometimes the guys in the south can't get to the northern ones in time. But we'll get together and do big work projects. We'll get together and do things just that need to be done when we need extra help on stuff.
Did you guys offer a junior ranger camp or anything like that in the summer? Or
we don't have a junior ranger camp right now in the summer. We're a little different than other parks because we're still building our park. So our park's not done. Well, all parks are still building, but our main project right now is the completion of the Cumberland Trail, because that's our park, and that's what we're trying to get finished. And once we think that gets done, you know, I think we'll have one of the greatest long-distance hiking places in the country. Mm-hmm. It's a 300-mile-long trail. It would be a great opportunity for someone to come, and you don't have to take 6 months off work like you do when you hike the AT or be retired. You can take half that time, or maybe even a quarter of that time, and hike the Cumberland Trail, and then you can prepare yourself for an Appalachian Trail hike or one of those great big long hikes out west or something that someone would do.
Well, that's what it's kind of mimicking, you know, without, like you said, without the great distance of the Appalachian Trail.
Absolutely. The distance is, you know, like I said, it's a lot less, but what you'll see on our trail on that eastern escarpment of the Cumberland Plateau in Tennessee will rival anything in the country in beauty. We'll go in and out of gorges. We'll cross these giant streams. We'll come up on these super beautiful overlooks on this limestone bluffs, and you get up high on these beautiful sandstone bluffs. You come in and out of these gorges. You'll get to experience everything on the Cumberland Plateau in that East Tennessee area. It's just a beautiful place.
Well, it sounds like you're combining, you know, you got the best of the best. You got the best in Middle Tennessee, and where it's mimicking and joining East Tennessee all right here together.
Oh, I think it's beautiful. And the trail changes along the way. You come in and out of these river gorges in the southern part of the trail, and you get up into Cumberland County, and you're up on top of the plateau, and then you start, when you get to Cumberland County going north, you start getting into that Cumberland Mountain section of the Cumberland Plateau, where you're hiking across these mountains when you get into Claiborne and Campbell and Scott and Morgan counties. You know, we go right through Frozen Head State Park. Our trail goes through the backside of it, and then you get onto these Anderson Mountain and Lawson Mountain, and you go way up on top of these mountains, and you go right back down into these big canyons. It would be a daunting task to hike the whole CT no matter what, but it would be a beautiful experience.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with Anthony Jones. And welcome back. We got Anthony Jones here with us today. Now, Anthony, I understand, you know, you are an avid outdoorsman.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, one of your favorite pastimes is something that I understand is a sport that's losing interest among our youth in the community these days. Would you like to tell us about that?
Oh, Brad, I'm a coon hunter from way back. My dad raised hounds my entire life. I can remember being a little kid, and Dad always had hounds around there, different kinds of hounds. And but yeah, it's just it's a great sport. It's a great thing to do. There's nothing better than being out in the woods on a cold night like last night. I went coon hunting last night, sitting there on a log and listening to your dog bark down in a hollow and come up on a hill treat or something. There's nothing better than that.
You know, around in this area, you know, growing up, I myself went out a few times with my uncle, and as when I was in high school, I used to coon hunt, and you know, around in this area, you know, it's a task. You know, you dog tree off in some deep holler, and here you got to go get him, and you know, come walking out, or you know, or tree two, three hills over. You know, it can be a workout. You know,
absolutely. Technology has changed the world of coon hunting. I can remember when I was little, you know, if your dog got out of pocket, you had to walk up on a hill where you could try to hear it or something off in the distance. But now, you know, you got these tracking systems by Garmin and stuff and all these other ones that you can just watch your dog and watch what it does right there, and you know how far it is. And if it gets close to a road, you can drive around to it. So it's changed a lot over the last 20 years, that's for sure.
That's right. And, you know, we are in coon season right now, right? It's public land and private land hunting season, correct?
Yeah. That a few years ago, TWRA started the private land season, which opened July the 1st. And then they kept the public land season, I think it's third Saturday in September, or Friday night in September, something like that. So, yeah, it's open now. Maybe the 4th Friday night. I think it opened on the 24th or the 23rd, the night of the 23rd. So, yeah, coon season's open now, and people can go out and you can hunt, you know, public land for coons. And it's a great way to – it's just a great way to get out with your friends and spend a good time out, listen to an old hound dog chase something around the woods. And plus, you know, tree a coon or two, it probably helps the turkey population a little bit.
Well, what I really enjoyed about it was this, listening to some of the stories that some of the old-timers would tell. You know, they'd talk about they'd get in an argument whose dog was better – you know, or whose dog treed on it first, or, you know, whose dog was running first. Oh, mine's in the lead right there. You hear him? You know, they'd have good stories, you know, and get in arguments of whose dog was the fastest or the best. And you know, I just remember just spending quality time with folks I loved. And, you know, I think that's something missing in our society today.
You know? Absolutely. And every coon hunter has the best dog.
Yeah.
They may tell you that so-and-so's dog is good, too, but deep down inside, they feel like their dog is the best. And there's a little bit of a liar in every coon hunter, too. They make up a story or two about what their dog did.
Well, it's just like fishing. Just like fishing, you know, and there's always a good story. Now, do you know of any, Anthony, you know any good hunts coming up or any clubs that somebody, if somebody's interested in, they could join or anything?
Yeah, so a lot of counties have coon hunters clubs that they can join, and there's a lot of you know, competition hunts and stuff that go on now. But in Fentress County, they have an event on October the 22nd. It benefits the Clark Range Interact team, and it's been going on for about 10 years now. And in that 10-year period, they've raised over $20,000 for the Clark Range Interact Club. This year, it's October 22nd. It's a meat hunt, so I think you can sign up. And I've got a number here for the people that are putting it on, but it's $30, it's $40 sign up, and they'll give away a prize. They'll give away a cash prize. They give away dog boxes. They give away collars. But the main prize this year is an Alpha 200 tracking system with a Garmin T15X collar. They'll give that away. So, you know, kind of the rules are is they have a deadline. You bring a coon in, they put your name in a hat, and they'll draw that name out of the hat, and whoever wins that gets their name drawn out, wins that grand prize, and then they'll have numerous other little prizes after that. You can win lights and dog collars and money, too.
How would one sign up? What's the number for
that? So the number for that, right now, I think the person who's organizing, his name's Jason Bowden, and the number for that is 931-265-5288. That's how you can get a hold of Jason and sign up for that Clark Range Interact hunting. They're also having a cornhole tournament at 4 p.m. starts at the Clark Range baseball field there at Clark Range High School out in Fentress County. They got a cornhole tournament that starts at 4 p.m., and then they'll have a bench show after that. So they'll have little prizes for the cornhole tournament, and they'll have a prize for the bench show if you want to come up and bring your dog and show up for the bench show. So it's a good event. I've participated in that for the last few years. I actually won a Garmin tracking system at that thing a few years ago, and so I've still got that one today. So now they're giving away the new one this year, so may have to try to go back up there and win me a new tracking system.
Well, there you go. So if you're interested in coon hunting or, you know, or go and just seeing what it's about, you know, it'd be something good to participate in. And, you know, like Anthony said, you know, that's a great way of bonding with one with your dog. And, you know, and the, you know, the still the main breeds, Walker, Redbone, you know,
Blue ticks, and black and tans. I'm not going to name a main breed. I'd have every coon hunter in the country calling in here to your show, Brad, telling you how theirs is the best.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm parts of the walkers, and everybody knows the blue tick. You know, with Smokey. You know, of all fans. You know, we did pull out a win against Florida. You know,
that's
pretty,
right.
Pretty recent. So go Vols.
You know. I wonder if that dog could tree a coon.
I don't know. He's lived a pretty good life.
I'm going to doubt it.
I don't know. It's in their blood. I don't know. We'll see. But, Anthony, thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate you being here. And let's get outdoors.
Thank you, Brad.